Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Headlines on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. Softy and Dick with Dick. How about this? Brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
We'll suck on this.
Seahawks win at 23-17 against the Eagles last night to go 8-3 and reclaim sole possession of first place in the NFC West. DK Metcalf, 10 catches, 177 yards. That's a career high for him, by the way. He now has 1,039 yards on the season. He's 249 yards away from passing Steve Largent for the single-season reception yardage record in the history of the franchise. And he's got five games left to do
it. Wow. I think he's going to do it. Win for the Hawks, but a loss today for the Doggies basketball team. They managed just 42 points against UC Riverside. 57-42, the final score. Almost half the Huskies' points were scored by Quade Green. It was 8 of 17 from the floor. 18 points, no other Husky in double digits.
42 points, man. 42. One more than 41.
41 yards!
By the way, the Huskies were out-rebounded 49-33. They have been out-rebounded, Dick, in two games, 99-52.
We felt that was going to be an issue.
Not good. NFL Ravens Steelers now set for tomorrow at 12:40 p.m. You'll hear that game right here on KJR. The Giants, by the way, will not have quarterback Daniel Jones this Sunday against the Seahawks. Colt McCoy will get the start. Giants, by the way, bringing in Spider Joe Webb for a workout in New York.
Not Spider Gaines?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Packers offensive lineman Corey Linsley expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain. Big loss for the Pack.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
You find it coincidental, Jackson, that Dick Fain picks today to come back to the radio show the day after a Seahawk game. You got 4 to 5 off because you got the Husky honks on the air. I mean, do you find it kind of a little bit interesting that today is the day?
100%.
Yeah, today. You didn't plan this, did you? Yeah.
I would use the term strategic.
Strategery.
Strategery.
That's what you would say. Well, welcome back, pal. Hope you had a great time in the desert.
Oh,
we've missed you. Lots of wacky stuff has been going on since you were last on the air on Thursday of not last week, but the week before. Did you hear about the gift that our friend Beth Mowins gave us, by the way, during the game on Saturday versus
Utah?
Not only
did I hear about it, heard it once, and then I heard it repeated, and I was like, she did not do that by accident.
No,
she did not just randomly repeat 41 years.
She told us she didn't. Told us on Twitter that she did it on purpose just for us.
Dylan Morrison, the offense trying to get something cranked up because Utah has been shutting them down. Just 41 yards of total offense. 41 yards. That's it on 13 plays.
Yeah, that was a gift from her to us for free. So thank you to her.
You should have seen my son's eyes when he heard that. He just, were as big as saucers. He looked at me because he knew who was calling the game. I told him, and he was like, she said it, Dad. She said it.
Well, you know what? I can die a happy man.
Just
now,
41
baby.
Yards of total offense. 41 yards.
Great gift. And then last night, obviously, with the Seahawks beating Philadelphia 23-17. You know, it's funny because I know a lot of folks were not happy with the way the Seahawks played last night, with the way their offense played last night, with the way their defense late in the game kind of got pushed around a little bit. I would kind of debate some of that. But I'd just say this. First of all, it's funny what can mean the difference between a blowout and a tight game like we saw last night in Philadelphia. If DK Metcalf, his name again?
DK Metcalf.
In 3-2-1. If DK Metcalf, thank you, catches that touchdown that he dropped last night in the fourth quarter, which was a perfect throw by Russell Wilson.
Yes.
And the referees don't blow one of the easiest grounding calls in the history of the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's a 30-7 or 30-9 game last night. And Wilson's passer rating, which was 102.9, ends up being 119.2. And this is an easy 20-plus point win for the Seahawks last night.
Let's take it a couple steps further. It's 21-0 if Carson gets the ball on 4th-and-2 instead of David Moore on an end-around. And you've got a Hail Mary at the end of the football game, right, costing some people $500,000, by the way. Did you see that online? Yeah, somebody bet $500,000.
Didn't cost me that much, but it cost me a little bit. Oh,
minus six
God.
And a half. You're exactly right. I mean, the Eagles had minus 4 yards on 10 plays in the first quarter. In the midway through the second, it was 139-4. And I know yardage doesn't mean anything, but you just never, ever got a stressed out feeling in that game. And anytime you can go, really anytime in the NFL, period, you can have a stress-free game, let alone a stress-free game on the road.
I am
never going to bitch and moan when that happens, particularly when the side of the ball that you've been worried about most of the season stifles the opponent. I'm very, very satisfied with what I saw overall.
Well, I think first of all, they better damn well have stifled him, because the Eagles are awful. Carson Wentz is awful. And my God, how far in the bag for Carson Wentz are Brian Griese and Lewis Riddick? Holy crap. Watching that game last night, you would have thought those guys were his agents, for crying out loud. Well, you know, look at what's he supposed to do? Dude, he stinks. He's terrible, okay? 5 of his last 6 games, he's been under 60%. He's got, or did have, 14 touchdowns and 14 picks going into last night. They got a $60 million dead cap number. I was surprised, like Pete Carroll was apparently, Dick, that we didn't see more of Jalen Hurts in the game last night. The Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts in the 2nd freaking round. Okay? Yeah. So if they won't play Jalen Hurts last night in that game when their offense can't do a damn thing, I'm wondering if I'm an Eagle fan, why did we draft this guy in the 2nd round? If you won't even play him in a game where, by the way, you're still looking at a shot of winning the NFC East. You were a game out heading into that game last night with the Seahawks. So I was a bit surprised by that. But again, go back to last night's game and think about that play, that throw to DK Metcalf where, you know, look, dude, I got to be honest with you. There's 2 games in the last 2 or 3 years where I have actually felt bad for a player on the opposing roster. One of them is in the NFL, and one of them is in college football. The college football game was Britton Covey when he was getting the crap beat out of him by the Husky secondary a couple years ago down there. When I thought Britton Covey that night, I was fearful for his life playing the Husky defense in that game in Salt Lake City a couple years ago.
4 shots he took in that game.
Unbelievable, if not more than that. And then last night, I'm watching Darius Slay just get humiliated by DK Metcalf, and Jim Schwartz, who's the Eagles' defensive coordinator, does nothing about it.
Yeah.
The entire game. I mean, go back on Game Pass and watch every single catch by DK Metcalf. One-on-one with Slay. One-on-one with Slay. One-on-one with Slay. The entire freaking night. Even the touchdown. It's the 4th quarter. There's 12 minutes to go in the 4th quarter, and DK Metcalf has torn you up. And they got a safety who's worried about a trips formation to his left, which includes a tight end, and is leaving DK Metcalf one-on-one to roast Darius Slay, which should have been an easy touchdown catch for him in the 4th quarter last night. I was shocked the entire game that they did nothing to help that kid out. Nothing.
Well, from the very beginning of the game, first Seattle drive, you look at the defense, and you would have thought it was Seahawks 2003 defense with Earl Thomas about 20 yards deep and press coverage all around, and I'm thinking, you're going to press DK and Tyler Lockett? That's really how you think that you're going to stop DK Metcalf, is to press coverage him. And he reminded me of, you see those videos all the time on YouTube or on Twitter of the kid in the Little League football game that just shouldn't be there.
Right.
You know, that's got 4 kids hanging all over him, and he's dragging them into the... Like, how did this 6th grader get into a 2nd grade football game?
Yeah.
That's what DK Metcalf looked like against Darius Slay last night.
He was unstoppable. And look, I mean, that touchdown, I hate to go back to that, or lack thereof, a touchdown pass. It kind of reminds me of what we thought Russell Wilson should have done every time he saw Jimmy Graham in single coverage, especially in the red zone.
Throw it up.
Just give the guy the damn ball. I mean, go back, you know, my Twitter account, there's a screenshot there. I tweeted it, by the way, you may have seen it.
If
Russell Wilson goes to the line of scrimmage and he looks to his left or right and he sees that coverage against DK Metcalf, I don't care what you got called. I don't care what great idea you had in your brain. If you're Brian Schottenheimer of pulling off a play, you give him the ball every single freaking time. So I thought in a lot of ways last night, that was kind of the difference in the game, Dick, in that DK Metcalf played for the Seahawks and not for Philadelphia, because he was unstoppable. That run by Chris Carson for the touchdown was just vintage Chris Carson. It was beautiful. Pete Carroll, Dick, I'm telling you, has not been that fired up about a touchdown run by a running back all year long. He almost blew his freaking elbow out on that play when Chris Carson dragged that defender across the goal line. So, you know, I'm with you in general terms about the defense. They got 9 sacks and 19 quarterback hits in the last couple of games. I don't know how much credit you give them for that performance last night, because the Eagles are awful.
Yeah.
But the alternative would have been a nightmare if they would have gotten pushed around by those guys. So we're starting to see a little bit of a semblance of a pass rush. We'll wait, knock on wood, on the Carlos Dunlop injury, by the way. That could be gigantic for these guys. They've been a different team with him as opposed to without him. But we're seeing a team that's building some confidence. Jamal Adams had his best game last night since week one against Atlanta. So you take triple bogey out of play, and you tell yourself as players, hey, we can do this. We're getting some guys healthier, obviously, as the games go by. You got the Giants, you got the Jets, you got Washington, you got San Francisco. It remains to be seen what will happen if this team plays the Saints or the Packers or the Chiefs, by the way, in the playoffs. But I think we all can agree, at least I think we can, that they've taken a bit of a step in the last couple weeks.
Oh, there's no question. And I think that the demise of the secondary was very, very premature, because now we see what this secondary can be when they're healthy. They were only missing Quentin Dunbar, and really Trey Flowers has played probably as well as Quentin Dunbar has. And now you've got a pass rush that's helping out that secondary even more. So I do want to see. I'm confident that this secondary is going to be able to play well the rest of the season. This was a secondary that we thought was going to be top five in the NFL coming into the year. I still think they can be that. The pass rush, obviously Dunlap has got to be healthy. No question about it.
Has to be. Which is crazy, by the way, that you and I are sitting here now talking about Carlos freaking Dunlap being the key to everything. Right?
Well, he's
a month ago, he was in Siberia in the NFL.
Well, he's by far the best pass rusher. And not only that, he's unlocked Jaron Reed and he's unlocked LJ Collier.
Right.
Because sometimes when you bring an alpha dog in, it just takes the pressure off the other guys. And that's exactly what he's done.
And maybe Rasheem Green. Who knows
where
Green will go from here on out. But, you know, look, a good win. I mean, it kind of went the way that a lot of us thought it was going to go, because let's face it, guys, the Seahawks don't blow anybody out.
No.
Anybody. I mean,
I was talking
on Twitter last night when it was 14-0. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to be up 24-0 in the fourth quarter. And they'll win 24-21, which is almost exactly what happened last night in that game. So we're going to break. A lot to talk about after last night's win. The recap, by the way, from the Eagles crew. Special time at 6 p.m. tonight, because we got the Husky Honks at 4 o'clock with special honk Greg Lewis joining me and Coach Baird at 4 p.m. Factor Fiction. We're already up one this week after taking the under in the game last night.
Nice
Seahawks
work.
And Eagles. So
nice
we'll
work.
Get Dick pick at 3:35, brought to you by the Emerald Creek Casino. 49451 is open. You guys want to drop us a line on last night's Seahawk win? A lot of folks have their glass half empty after yesterday's win over Philadelphia. What about you? Coming up on 950 KJ.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's original diehard sports station, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Takes the snap. He's back. He's hit. And he is sacked back at the 25-yard line. Another terrible possession.
Yeah, that's just a poor job by the offensive line.
MVP of the game so far, Cameron Johnston, out to punt.
That's Merrill Reese, longtime voice of the Eagles and former wide receiver Mike Quick. You'll hear the recap from the Eagle Radio Network coming up at 6 p.m. tonight before the Sounders FC Dallas pre-match show. Dick, it must be a big night in the MLS for the Sounders, because Jackson's wearing a tie right now. Always important on radio.
Is he going on TV or something?
Maybe he is.
I always dress up when I go to that press box.
Hey, man. Looking good. You feel good. Okay. You know, dress for success, baby. So Jackson's not a slob like you and I are.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, we did the UW show on Saturday before the Arizona game, and Taylor Barton was filling in that week with me and Coach, and he sends me a text on Friday night. Do I have to dress up to be in the press box? Like, dude, I'm wearing shorts, man. Okay, Baird may show up naked, so no, you don't have to wear a freaking shirt at a tie. But Sounders FC pre-match show at 6:30, kickoff to follow right here on KJR. Husky Honks at 4, Walter Jones at 5:20 on the program. And I got to tell you what, man, you and I have been around a long time. We've seen a lot of bad calls in the NFL. That grounding call or lack thereof in the game last night, first of all, it comes on the drive where the Eagles got the touchdown before the half came to an end, number one. Second of all, it should have been second and 39. Instead, it ends up as a touchdown for Philadelphia. Third of all, you got the side judge whose job it is to watch the line of scrimmage.
Standing
the
3 yards.
The guy literally had not moved from the line of scrimmage since the ball was snapped. The ball gets caught by a ball boy 3 yards to his left. And then fourth of all, the head official jumps on the mic and says the ball cleared the line of scrimmage. None of those things are true. I mean, dude, when Peter King is ripping the referees on Twitter for that call, there are people out there, like our buddy Jackson, who live and breathe conspiracy theories all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Plays like that do nothing to change their mind about the NFL's motives. That was a horrible, horrible miss, and it never should have happened. It should have been second and 39, and the Eagles, 2 plays later, should have been punting. And if not for that call, you know what else happens? The Seahawks probably cover the 6.5 last night.
Absolutely cover the 6.5. So what exactly is the conspiracy theory, that they're just trying to keep viewers interested by getting the Eagles?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. And plus you had a situation where Russell Wilson was called in the drive before that for grounding when he threw it into the end zone, and he was arguing that. That clearly crossed the line of scrimmage. They did say he was still in the tackle box, but that was brutal. But at least it came in a point where if you weren't concerned with the spread, it really didn't do anything to your concern level of the football game.
No, it didn't, because that's the only way. Look, dude, the only way the Eagles could score a touchdown, 2 touchdowns in the game last night, was number one, to have a grounding call, which was obvious, not be called. And then number two, to have a Hail Mary. All right? That's
off a helmet.
That was the best offense the Eagles had in that game last night, which is why I'm a little hesitant to kind of throw a party for the way the Seahawks defense played last night. You know, I'm glad that they avoided the nightmare scenario, which is Carson Wentz getting healthy. You know, Ron Jaworski was on the radio show yesterday, and we asked him flat out, for the Eagles to win this game, how do you see that going down? He said, well, Carson Wentz has got to be unbelievable. He's got to have the game of the year for him, and maybe his best game in 2 years. So at least, at minimum, we avoided that scenario. But now you got the Carlos Dunlop injury, but you're getting Shaq back, and it's obvious they're a different secondary with Shaquille Griffin back there. That was painfully obvious last night. So I don't know. I mean, that's why I ask, you know, is the glass half full? Is it half empty? It kind of felt like, at least for the defense last night, Dick, one of those games where you had nothing to gain and everything to lose as far as the perception goes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know, the Eagles front is pretty good.
Yes,
I mean, their defensive front is pretty good. So I don't think it's a shock that the Hawks were stifled at times, but they did score on 5 consecutive drives. And like you said before, I mean, minimum 30 points should have been scored by the Seahawks,
absolutely,
with just nothing out of the ordinary happening.
Nope.
So I'm not at all concerned about it. I don't think anybody should be concerned about the Seahawks offense going forward, especially with, as you would hope, Chris Carson gets little by little more healthy and be able to carry the mail more and more as we go along the season.
I do think, though, can I jump in one for a second? I do think your point there about how nobody should be concerned about the Seahawks offense, I generally agree with that, because that's their strength, clearly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I will say this about DK Metcalf. As great as he's been, he's got to stop dropping footballs. He's got to stop dropping footballs in those crucial situations, because that play that you saw in the corner of the end zone last night, hey, man, that could come in a freaking wild card game, or a divisional game, in a close game against a team like Green Bay or New Orleans or the Buccaneers or whoever, and it would not surprise me if DK Metcalf brought that issue into the playoffs. So clean that up, dude, and this offense looks like they should be unstoppable.
And on the defensive side of things, they're not going to be a dominant defense, but all we've asked for is middle of the road. That's what we've asked for. Now, they looked dominant last night, but the reason they looked dominant is they were playing one of the probably five worst offenses in football right now.
Yep.
They're going to play another two of the five worst offenses in football coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
You're not going to learn anything from what the Seahawks defense does until they play the Rams again and until they get in the playoffs. And if they can just hold teams in the low 20s, and I'm not talking about these crap teams they're going to play in the next couple weeks. If they can hold the Rams, if they can hold whoever they play in the playoffs in the low 20s, that is going to be enough for them to advance.
Listen, I don't have, and maybe this is the wrong thing to say, and maybe I'm jinxing the Hawks, which is just stupid, right? That a guy like me, an idiot like me, could have any impact on what happens on game day.
A lot of power, man.
You jinxed him, man. It's your fault. God, I wish I had that kind of authority. You know what? If I did, I wouldn't have let him cover the spread last night, for crying out loud. I don't have any doubt, actually, that the Seahawks are going to win the NFC West. I just don't. They're 8-3. Four of their next five are against teams that are 13-31 combined, okay? The Rams, on the other hand, have the Cardinals twice, the Seahawks in New England, all right? Now, the Patriots aren't what they used to be, but the Patriots just beat Arizona this last weekend. They may be kind of figuring something out at the end of the year. So, first of all, Dick, if the Seahawks can't win the NFC West with a one-game lead with five games left to play, and that schedule they've got the rest of the way, and everybody getting healthier, Carson's back, Hyde's back, Shaquille Griffin's coming back, if they can't pull this off now, then shame on them, because they're in a phenomenal spot to win the NFC West. My question is, what do we have on our hands when this team gets to January? What do we have on this on our hands when they play a game like Green Bay, like Tampa, like New Orleans? And I would love to just fast forward to that right now and figure out what the hell this football team is all about, because that's what I'm thinking about. I mean, again, I'm sorry. Maybe I should be thinking about the Giants and the 0-11 Jets, or Washington at 4-7, or whatever the hell they are, or the Niners. What I'm thinking about right now is, what can this team do come playoff time? Because that's what they'll be judged on. Right? Yeah. You and I have talked about this 1,000 times. Nobody gives a damn what their record is in the regular season. All we care about is how far do they go in January.
I still think the Saints are probably slightly better overall, and I think Seattle's right there with Green Bay, but Seattle's strength is Green Bay's weakness, and that's what makes me excited, is that Green Bay's weakness is their run defense.
Yep.
They're a sieve, man. Last three games, 5 yards per carry. Just coming off a game where they allowed 7.6 yards per carry. They're 25th in the league in yards per carry against. You should be able to play Seahawk football. And that doesn't matter if it's in Seattle when it's 35 degrees and raining, or if it's at Lambeau Field and it's 25 degrees and snowing.
Run the ball.
You should be able to play Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde football against the Green Bay Packers if you face them in the playoffs.
It's funny, because that's like the one spot I don't want to go to, is Lambeau Field in late January when the weather is going to be terrible. But, you know, look, dude, I mean, at some point they're going to get Penny back, right? You got five games left to go. I think Rashad Penny at some point is coming back. And all of a sudden, then you got, dude, if that happens and they got Penny, Carson, and Hyde all together at one time, I don't think there's going to ever have been, in the course of history, human history, a time when the Seahawks and Huskies were deeper at running back than they are in 2020. And that's what they did against Oregon State, right? They just pounded the ball down their throat with four guys because they have a smaller defensive line. Those three guys come back, and they should ride those guys every single game and get whatever they can get with guys like DK Metcalf. Now, the fourth down play, the two of them last night drove me bananas. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but the first one, and look, I realize that DK Metcalf blew a block on the run to David Moore.
Big time.
But I'm asking myself, it's fourth and goal from the two-yard line. You're going to get single coverage on DK Metcalf. Have him run to the corner, have him turn around, and have him catch a touchdown. Why are you asking DK Metcalf to block? And I get it. At some point, a wide receiver is going to have to block. Like, for example, on the second fourth down conversion, they're going to lock it, but DK Metcalf runs into the Eagles defender. He's about to get called for a pick play, so he has no other choice but to run around him. I realize that you're asking DK Metcalf to block at some point. I realize you want DK Metcalf to be a complete receiver. I think on both those plays, Dick, asking DK Metcalf to do what they asked him to do, I thought they were way overthinking it.
No, I think that's fair. I think that, and I don't have a problem with going on either one of them. Now, I thought they'd kick. I even said it out loud to my family.
On the first play?
Yeah. On the second one. The second one, after they blew the first one up on the David Moore play, the second one, I was like, okay, they're going to get their three here. They already messed up. It would have been, you know, it would have been a 50-yard field goal. But
55.
I mean,
55-yard.
Oh, 55, yeah. Yeah, 55. I mean, but Myers has been absolutely money.
Yeah.
And the play call was the issue, and I think that's probably, if you convert one of those, even convert the touchdown, I'm sure that the feeling after the game probably would be different. I think this game came down to one or two plays where Seahawk Nation goes from really, really satisfied with how the game went to, I'm guessing, because I didn't read a lot of Twitter after the game because I wanted to just soak it up. I didn't want to read negative Nelly Seahawk Twitter after the game.
Hey, what are you talking
about?
Assuming,
and you can tell me if I'm
positive,
wrong.
Positive PD was out last night. You missed it.
I'm assuming that Seahawk Twitter, who always comes to play with negativity even in wins, I'm sure they did that last night.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think people have a right to have high expectations of this football team. I think it's phenomenal that people have high expectations. I think that the 8-year-old Softy and the 8-year-old Richard L. Fain from 1981 would be jumping with joy that you and I live in a world now where
Absolutely.
We can bitch about wins.
Absolutely.
I think it's incredible.
I just can't subscribe to it because we went so long.
Yeah.
We couldn't bitch about wins when we were growing up.
Well,
man.
Maybe that's the difference. Talk to Dixon. Ask him what he thinks, because, I mean, you've basically turned into, not that the Seahawks have accomplished in the NFL what Alabama has accomplished in college football, but they've kind of turned into the Alabama of college football and the Duke of basketball. In that winning is not enough anymore. And I think it's great. I think, look, the expectations are sky high, and they're sky high for Pete Carroll, and they're sky high for Russell Wilson. There were certain times last night, and there's that little bug in the back of my head, and maybe it was planted in Glendale, Arizona, in the Super Bowl, where you kind of wonder every now and then, is Pete Carroll going to go totally hormonal and do something that's going to cost this football team? Like those fourth down plays last night, like totally blowing the clock.
Twice.
Last year in week 17 against the Niners.
Twice yesterday,
remember
too.
That? Yes.
Yeah.
Where they fell asleep and they had no idea what the hell they were doing against San Francisco. Things like that happen, and you just kind of, it keeps me up at night, honestly. All right, we'll do this. Husky Hawks at 4 o'clock with Greg Lewis. Fact or Fiction Tuesday, Dick Day right now.
It's time for Fact.
Just the Fact, Jack.
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
Right. You know where we are, by the way, in Fact or Fiction? What were we going into yesterday's show?
Going into yesterday, we were tied with Ian at 27-28.
Okay, they took the over in the game last night, and we took the under in the game last night.
Yeah, baby!
Look who's in second place! All right, big boy, your turn. What do you got?
My favorite with a bullet this week. You've got the Tennessee Titans, who have won back-to-back games against the Ravens and Colts. Meanwhile, you have the 8-3 Cleveland Browns. Let me repeat, the 8-3.
Yep.
That just, something doesn't sound right about that. And what doesn't sound right about that is that they're 8th in the AFC in point differential at -21.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they are 8-3. And how about this? Their 8 wins are against combined records of 26-59-2.
They have
beaten one winning team all year. Their 3 losses, they lost by 32 to the Ravens, 31 to the Steelers, and 10 to the Raiders. I think we all agree that Tennessee is much more in that latter group than they are in the former group.
Yep.
And how about this? Nissan Stadium has increased attendance to 15,000 this week, so they'll have a few fans there. Tennessee minus the 5.5 against the fraudulent Cleveland Browns.
Titans minus the 5 is the pick. You agree it's fact, you disagree it's fiction, to 49451. And by the way, we get one extra pop from last week because we're waiting for the Ravens game tomorrow.
Right. Which I'm not going to win.
Well, you should have waited until today. They're getting 10 now.
Yeah.
The line opened up at 5. It's now 10.
I made the wager before I knew that Lamar Jackson wasn't playing. So
we're
not going to win that.
Let's get the Titans game. Titans and the points. Titans minus the points against the Browns. Fact or Fiction to 49451. Last week for Fact or Fiction, by the way. So if you want to win $1,000, you got to get one game right this week. Just one on any show, and you're eligible for $1,000 courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. Half price apps during every Seahawk game at the brand new Summit Sports Bar at the brand new casino in Tacoma. Titans minus the points is the pick. Fact or fiction to 49451 right now. Husky Honks coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll kind of hit on the Seahawk game a little bit more last night. Russell Wilson. A lot of people are down on the way he played last night. Lots of folks are down on the offense after last night. Should they be? Coming up on
Performance.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
Find out where that leprechaun-looking guy is and go get him.
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
All right, baby. Husky Hawks are coming up 4 o'clock. Greg Lewis, our guest for today after a come-from-behind win against Utah on Saturday.
This kid doesn't look Jewish.
Stanford up next. Stanford's going to come up here and then hang out in the PNW for a week because Santa Clara County says if you leave and you come back, you got to quarantine for 14 days, and that don't work for the Cardinals. So good on them for finding a way to pull it off. But a lot of Husky talk starting at 4 o'clock. Softy Dick Fain, Jackson Felt hanging out until 6:30 tonight before the pre-match show. Sounders FC Dallas, winner of the Western Conference Finals, let's baby. Go. Coming up right here on 950 KJR. So Jamal Adams yesterday, according to our friends at PFF, Pro Football Focus, 82.1 grade, number one on defense overall for the Seahawks yesterday, 71.3 in coverage, his best coverage grade since week one at 78.3. I don't know who on the Eagles, though, you were really concerned about through the air in that game yesterday, but give the guy credit. He got it done last night. And then apparently wanted to make sure that Joe Fan, our buddy from NBC Sports Northwest, did you hear this, by the way?
Did Joe tick him off?
So last week, Joe mentioned something about him struggling in pass coverage, and it made him a little bit salty. So last night, Jamal Adams wanted to make sure that Joe Fan saw how great he was in coverage last night.
Say, Mr. Joe, how was my coverage?
Man, I don't know why you're salty. I just asked, how do you feel?
Oh, man, you know, I mean, you said I got a little salty, man. I don't get salty, brother. Trust me. It takes a lot for me to really get salty, so I just wanted to ask you how my coverage was today.
Oh, I was going to ask you if I had time.
Oh, okay.
More man coverage. You said on Friday that you were hoping that, or you were excited for things to change in the game coming up. I didn't get a chance to ask a follow-up. Do you feel like you were in man coverage more in this game?
Absolutely, but how did I do? I'm asking you.
I thought you looked okay.
Damn, that makes my day. I'm going to have a hell of a flight, man.
My man.
I appreciate you, brother. No, it's all love, man. I appreciate y'all.
Well, Adams versus the Fan is even better than Fain versus Fan.
Oh,
You know, Joe, got handed to Joe, man. He was backpedaling like Richard Sherman in his prime right there at the very
beginning. What do you mean? No, he wasn't. He was not. He was just saying, hey, look, I'm trying to ask you a damn question. Why don't you answer for crying out loud? But just to put this into context, the 71.3 coverage grade, that would be good enough for the season for 18th overall among safeties and pass coverage. Mm-hmm. And if he can get to top 20 overall in pass coverage by the end of the year, sign me up for that right now.
No, no question. And, you know, Joe is right. I mean, Jamal had not been – we've seen times where Jamal was lost in pass coverage this season. There's no question about that at all. And I kind of find myself evaluating – instead of evaluating Jamal Adams on the whole, which I probably should be doing, I find myself – validating or not validating the trade on a week-by-week basis. I like at the end of the game, I ask myself, self, was Jamal Adams worth two first-round draft picks today? And I do that every single week. And yesterday, the answer was yes.
Absolutely. Well, he better have been worth two first-round draft picks in that game. I mean, if he can't help you against the – dude, the Eagles are as close to a college football team as any team in the NFL, not named the Jets. Right now,
especially the way that offense is playing.
God, they look awful. I mean, what the hell happened to them? They won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, and they suck. They're god awful. Did you see the story that came out of Philly yesterday? There's a report that Doug Peterson wants to get fired because of how bad things are in Philadelphia. So I'm stunned at how piss poor they've become. Number one, but then number two, dude. As far as your thought on Jamal Adams and justifying the deal every single game, he's not going anywhere. He is not going anywhere. They give up two first-round draft picks for this guy. You know this. He's getting a new contract in a year from now. So actually, this may kind of help their cause. Maybe they save a couple of bucks on a brand-new extension for Jamal Adams. He's not going anywhere. This guy's going to be here for 5 years.
Well, I just think we on the air every single week just have to announce how terrible he is in coverage.
Yes.
I mean, that's all
like
we
Jordan.
Have to do,
right.
really.
Right.
Just be Joe
yeah.
fan. Just say, you yeah. know what? Yeah. He's right. he's been rough in coverage. He's PFF Oof. Ranking him in the low 50s or whatever, and then boom, he's just going to go off.
Well, maybe one of us, like we do the King of the Skybox thing for Super Squares, one of us can just that week be the guy that logs onto the Zoom call and reminds him how much he sucks. Jackson, you're first up.
I would love it.
Jackson's
Jamal,
first up.
Do you realize, Jamal, how bad you are in pass coverage? You
Jamal,
are terrible.
Are you embarrassed by how bad you are in pass coverage? Yeah. I mean, every single week. And you know what? Look, dude, I'm a big fan of guys twisting anybody's words to motivate themselves, like MJ during the documentary.
Yes.
We found out that he would actually...
DK Metcalf?
Yeah, he would...
Last night?
He would, like, make stuff up, you know, just to fire himself up. I mean, the DK Metcalf thing, for me... I think there's two things going on. Number one, did Jim Schwartz really say what people say he said? And then number two, did DK Metcalf take it out of context? And number three, if he did he do the right thing? And did it really contribute to his 10 catches, 177 yards? I got no problem at all with one of my players from my favorite football team twisting somebody's words to motivate them to play better. But the idea, like for example, I'm looking at ESPN's Twitter account from last night. And there's a tweet and a photo of Jim Schwartz. The only quote there is, "I was in Detroit with Megatron. You're not there yet." That's not what he said. At all what he said.
Right.
What he's saying to DK Metcalf is, "Hey, man, I was in Detroit with Calvin Johnson. You may not be there yet, but you're on your damn way." And that's a compliment for a guy who's in the middle of his second year in the NFL.
Yeah.
For any coach to walk up to him and say that, that's a compliment. Now, DK Metcalf did not take it that way. For all I know, DK Metcalf heard this with Jim Schwartz, walked away, got about 15 yards away, and said, "You know what? I'm going to take that a different way. I'm going to fire myself up and go rip their ass on Monday night, and I love it."
Regardless of what the intent was,
yes.
it was stupid
yeah.
by Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, all you have to do is say, "Hey, man, you are having an amazing season. Good luck."
How about this? Say nothing.
Like, don't yeah, or,
say
yeah,
nothing,
or say nothing.
Right.
Don't compare him to someone else, particularly
right.
unfavorably
right.
to someone else. Whether you mean it as a compliment
yeah.
or as a diss,
yeah.
it was dumb.
Well,
on Jim Schwartz's
I don't think he did it unfavorably at all. I think in general terms, everybody, like for example, if you're in year two on the air here at KJR,
mm-hmm.
and I came to you and said, "Man, Dick, you are not Howard Stern yet, but dude, you are on your way." The 24-year-old Dick Fane would
like, wow,
take that
thanks,
as an,
man.
A huge compliment. So there's no part of me that believes that Jim Schwartz was insulting DK Metcalf. Oh. But by the small chance that he took it that way,
mm-hmm.
you're right. Why would you say it? Why
you
would
know
you
what?
Say it?
I love the fact that DK's got a little Jordan in him.
Absolutely.
And
Sherman.
Anything
yeah.
he hears,
yes.
he will twist as a diss.
I think it's great, man. I think it's great. Every week, remind DK Metcalf he's not Megatron and that Jamal Adams sucks. And this
okay.
team is going to the do. Super Bowl. We got a break. Husky Honks with special guest Greg Lewis, baby. Coming up next on 950 KJ.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.